Hello, and welcome back to the Undercover Nerds podcast. I'm Robert, and for five small payments of $99.99, my DVD workout will show you how to go from twink to twunk in only 30 days.
Damn, that was fire. That was good.
Way to start us off.
Nice. I don't think that I can beat that out. I'm sweating a little. I'm Tammy, the mama of the kawaii boy brothel.
Okay. If you ever open a brothel, you have to call it that.
The kawaii boy brothel.
I'm going down to the kawaii boy. Have a good weekend. Hey, Veterans Day. That's not my intro. I'm Angel. The shea butter sultan. The vanilla chai vandal. The sandalwood assassin.
Oh my god.
Jesus Christ, my heart is beating so fast. Every time we do this, it's immense pressure.
His adrenaline is just coursing through his veins right now.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
Y'all are so disconjointed.
My name is Belle, and I am your local purveyor of all things charming and macabre.
Fancy.
She did a serious one.
Let me fucking. I'm talking about Penny Dreadful, and y'all are talking about like anime and superheroes.
What do you expect? I talked about essential oils.
I can't do this.
All right.
It's me. Hi, I'm Sonata, and even though my name means Light of Faith, I'm anything but.
Wow, that was such a long intro for us.
Yeah, that was rough.
Honestly,
me and Sonata, just the two of us had a worse intro last night.
So
it's not too bad.
Yeah, we've had a wee bit of technical difficulties going into this episode, so we're a little... not all there. But I think we'll probably just extend this episode by a couple minutes to make up for that. But yeah, since we already brought it up, Belle, why don't we start with your topic for this first one?
Okay. So all right, bitches, it's November and that means it's Penny Dreadful time. It's like past the spooky time, it's the misty spooky time, so that makes it Penny Dreadful time. And it is one of my favorite shows, and I am currently rewatching it for like the fourth time, because I rewatch it every year, like around more so November, because it just seems like a November-y type show to me. And it is probably one of like, just like to sum up the show in general, it's probably like, I consider it to be like one of the most well-written shows I've ever watched. Like every single character has fantastic dialogue. Every single character is super interesting and like super conflicted and super flawed. And they tie in all the different concepts of what Penny Dreadfuls are. And they turn it into its own like super cool story. But like, so it kind of like mixes anthology with a plot. So it's really, really interesting in that type of structure. Hi, Phoebe. And
I hope someone listening is named Phoebe and is just really confused by that.
My it's like, they saw me.
Phoebe throwing me off my game. She just wants attention.
Yeah, Phoebe.
We call her Phoebers more often.
Phoebers.
Phoebers.
So,
like whenever I call her to get food, it's Phoebers.
So I don't know.
I got a question about your cat. Hold on.
Yeah.
What is Penny Dreadful? I've never heard of that show.
Okay, it's on Netflix. I forget which what it was originally broadcasted on, but it's on Netflix, all three seasons. It's so Do you know, like, what a Penny Dreadful is? Like, not the show Penny Dreadful, but do you know what, like, the Penny Dreadfuls back in the Victorian era were, right? So,
can I guess?
Sure, go ahead. Yes, let's guess. Have fun.
All right, they were a group of young, I feel like I'm already wrong, by the way. A group of young, angry, like, rascals, like, young children. And they would pickpocket people, but they would give back to even younger, angrier children, and it would continue in a cycle. Please stop me.
You know, I don't know if that was completely false, though.
Really?
I feel like there may have been some truth to it.
No, in the sense of, like, I mean, you know, like, your description makes sense. It's not correct, but it makes sense.
Also,
yeah, I was about to say, Penny Dreadful is more of like a piece of literature.
Yeah, it's a type of literature.
It was originally on Showtime, by the way. Also,
yeah, before we continue,
should have said this at the start of the episode. We have the full cast for this episode, guys.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Deborah, Voltron, all pieces.
Can I be Keith?
How did I know?
That's my husband's name.
How did I know? That's what you were going to say, Tammy.
I'm wearing red, too.
You know, I had no idea that the members of Voltron had names. I honestly didn't think it was about them.
Wait, you mean they're not all named Voltron? That's not like their family name?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Isn't that show called The Voltrons?
But yeah, so Belle, I know of Penny Dreadful. It's been on my watch list for a while, but I haven't actually seen it yet.
You need to start watching
I've started it, but I haven't finished it.
It is a really easy show to like binge and go through because it is only 3 seasons and they pack so much into every single episode. Like every episode is interesting. There are no fillers. It's like every single episode is absolutely necessary to the plot. Like, super important stuff happens every few minutes. So, it's also one of those shows where you can't really just, like, kind of, you can't just, like, be doing, like, you have to actually watch it. You can't be doing something else or whatever while it's on. You have to, like, sit and watch it.
You're telling especially that to, like, a bunch of art kids who are constantly doing, Sonata's fucking drawing right now.
I know, I say that. I can watch it while I'm doing stuff because I've seen it like 4 times, so I know what happens, and I know what all the characters say. But yeah, it's definitely like a super in-depth show, and it has like one of my favorite things about it is the dialogue because holy shit, like that's probably like one of my favorite examples of like a well-written show. Like every character has like such eloquent dialogue. Like everybody, it's almost like everybody's dialogue, like everybody's script is like in poetry.
That seems to be, I don't want to generalize, but it seems mm-hmm. to be a trend with primarily British or UK based shows where there's just a lot more focus on the dialogue.
Yeah, but they do it super well in this though, because they tackle super, I think the reason it works is because they tackle super huge topics mm-hmm. and like these characters go through trauma. Like, oh my god.
I mean,
dude, I love trauma.
The main character is like, she's not okay at any point in the show.
It is listed as a psychological thriller, so I believe it.
Yeah, they can afford to be like super flowery with their dialogue because it contrasts with how huge the topics and how like macabre and painful the topics they talk about are.
Yeah, if you look, I mean, like, if you look at the setting, it's very, like, gothic-esque, of course, yeah. And, you know, the dialogue is going to be flowery. It honestly wouldn't be right otherwise.
Yeah, because it is a very, like, aesthetic show. Like, everything is very beautiful. Everything is kind of romanticized. Like, it's definitely, like, your classic Victorian gothic that you would picture in a Penny Dreadful.
Imagine walking down the street and you see, like, some dude just fucking ganked in an alley and your friend is like, "Hark, Johnny, good sir has met his tragic end by the fate of a, I d- didn't have an end for that. I don't know where I was going with it. The point is that it was supposed to be very flowery.
I'd be like, bro, I'd be like, why are you talking like that? We're in New Jersey trying to find a Subway.
I'm trying to go to Firehouse Subs. Why are you pointing this out to me?
I just find it kind of hard for me to binge shows that are just like constantly like dark and dreary, which is why I found it hard for me to, which I tried to binge Penny Dreadful, but I couldn't. Because I was like, okay, I need to move on to something with some humor.
Yeah, I will say
would you
that,
say, like, would you say it was dreadful? Sorry.
Oh my God.
I mean.
Well, I will say that though, like, it really is like a very, it is a very somber show. Like, it's very, very dramatic. Like, any type of comic relief in the show is, like, the very little of it that
just
is there
humor.
Is like, yeah, it's like very dry and dark humor. It's like it's quiet humor. Like they don't, and yeah, they don't really incorporate humor into the show very much at all. It's pretty heavy, so I don't blame you. Like if you need to like take a break between seasons, that makes sense. It's a pretty heavy show.
I mean, that's actually part of why I was gonna watch it. Originally, when I found out about it, we were. Tammy, you were in this class where we had to, you know, do a comic, and mine was inspired by one of the myths surrounding Jack the Ripper. So I was going to watch that and Peaky Blinders. I then had to draw the same pages for that comic several times, and now I no longer want to do it. But Penny Dreadful was going to be something I was going to look at for reference for that.
Yeah, and it's just like it's a beautiful show too. Like everything in it is.
It is
really really
it's
well
beautifully shot. The actors do a really good job.
Oh, that's another thing. The acting is phenomenal too.
Yeah, there's something that I'm not a big fan of Ava Green's face. I don't know why. Don't
How
ask
dare
me.
You?
I don't like looking at her. But
dare insult.
What she kind of looks like? Like a young gender swap Chancellor Palpatine.
Angel!
Look at her and tell me I'm wrong.
Don't talk about my mother like that.
Oh my
Your
God.
Mother looks like the Emperor.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry. That felt bad to say.
Belle's gonna fucking curse you if you're not careful, man.
You can't see it, but I'm pulling up my
Wouldn't be the
right now. I just googled it.
It wouldn't be the first curse I've been. Do you see the darkness in my camera right now? I am fully cursed.
Belle's just gonna pan her camera down and we see her knitting a voodoo doll of Angel.
It would cancel out the other one.
How many voodoo dolls are there of you?
Let's just say it's an even number right now. Anyway, not enough about me. How's Penny doing? Who's Penny?
I went to a flea market and they actually had some Penny Dreadfuls on sale over there. Like they were like classic. Yeah, it was really cool. Expensive, but cool.
Imagine. Very, very vintage.
Yeah, they were collectibles. They were framed.
Unfortunately,
so it was really neat though.
The most exposure I have to them is unfortunately through the side missions in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which, you know, I know that's not the best representation of a Penny Dreadful. I'm sure there weren't super stylish assassin people just stabbing people in the chest in Victorian London, or if there were, I wouldn't know about it. I guess that wouldn't be common knowledge.
If you didn't know about it, then they were good enough assassins. That's what I always say. That's what Grandpa used to say.
Oh my God.
Let me stop before I dig too deep and get a fucking blowpipe dart in the side of my neck.
He knows too much.
Oh God.
Listen, that'd be a dope way to go out.
I tried to put on my hood just now. I forgot I had dreadlocks. It doesn't just happen like that.
So I'm seeing two Penny Dreadfuls, and I'm seeing that it's getting a reboot. How do you feel about that?
I love how that's like a reporter question. How do you feel about that?
I feel that I would like to know your thoughts.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Penny Dreadful City of Angels?
Yeah. No, I'm super excited about it, actually. Like, when I first saw the trailer, when it first came out, because I, like, got a notification for it, like, on YouTube when it first came, when the first trailer was first posted. Then I watched it, like, a few times, and then I went into the comment section, and everybody was complaining. Everybody was like, oh my god, where's Victorian England? Where's the, is the Penny Dreadful if it's not in, like, gloomy Victorian England? Where's the characters? And I'm like, bitch, it's a reboot. It's a new season.
I love your
why do you want to, like,
I love your interpretation of the internet.
Yeah, the everyman voice.
Yeah.
We just want stimulus checks.
Right, whenever I read comments on Life Now, it's going to be in that voice.
Hey, undercover nerds. I think you guys should talk more about BL because we're weird too, and we like BL.
Yeah, hey.
Let's not turn this into a roast of what little fans we have.
I'm sorry.
Little fans.
Y'all know I love y'all.
You're roasting two of your own people.
And they're not little.
We're pretty well. Well, no, Sonata's tall.
I was about to say, I sent Tammy the TikTok of the dude, like, short people, why do you always want to fight?
Because they're aggressive.
Fair? Yeah. No.
That would be a good Penny Dreadful.
Up, Angel. Short people. You and I stand eye level.
You don't know how short I am anymore. I'm in the internet.
You know. I met you past your growing stages, okay?
Perhaps.
Sonata, what would you say would make a good Penny Dreadful?
I said short people.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Alright, keep playing around. When you get your ankles bit, you're going to be crying, and I'm not going to be sorry. I'm not going to be sorry about it.
I judge it's a Penny Dreadful already. Freaking dark and evil.
I feel like Angel would be the type.
I would be the sad one.
Angel's the type in a Penny Dreadful where, like, they find the body and it's like, Angel's just like, they were talking shit. What was I supposed to do?
Well, am I supposed to let them talk shit? This is fucking Victorian London.
Are you talking
like hey, it's Victorian London. I'm walking here.
Hey, fucking Joyzy here.
Hey, fucking,
yeah,
fucking put the kettle on. Give me some fucking biscuits.
Get me some scones. Oh, wait, no, that's... That was, like, actually borderline, like, really bad fake British and not Jersey. My bad.
I know we have a fair amount of listeners in the UK. I'm sorry for everything you just heard.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening. We're sorry.
Feel free to write us emails telling us how bad our accents were and asking us to talk about other British stuff, I guess.
I feel like my British accent isn't bad, but I don't have the balls to do it on here, like, properly.
I'm afraid of the possibility of being roasted.
So my thing is, like, fair. I know there's different dialects, and I don't want to, like, start doing, because, like, I've heard, like, the mistake a lot of Americans make is that we switch dialects mid-sentence, and that's what makes it so cringy. Yeah. And I don't know enough about any dialect to do that properly, so.
Yeah.
The only one that I know that I'm, like, fairly comfortable with is Cockney.
Mm.
And I'm learning Birmingham. Or Birmingham. It's Birmingham.
This, like, artist group chat that I'm part of, they were, we have a guy from the UK in it, and everyone was just kind of, like, teasing him, and he was like, bruv, I'm getting mad, bruv, and they were just like, bruv, and then they were, like, spelling everything without T's, like, god damn it.
Honestly, what is going, like, on? There are certain parts of, the UK where the accent, like, kind of sounds like certain parts of Jamaica.
Oh yeah, that's like the slang out there. Yeah. London, it's the Jamaican the patois creeps its way in, and that's like the equivalent of like, hey, shout it was Craig.
Yeah,
like,
I fucking,
the same. That's theirs.
I remember watching old John Boyega movies before I knew, you know, he was British, and I specifically attacked the block, and I'm like, is he fucking British or Jamaican? I can't fucking tell. They keep saying bruv, and that could go either way.
Which way? That way.
It's a Queensland thing.
Side note, if anyone listening hasn't watched Attack the Block, fucking go do that. It's a great movie. It's got Yen John Boyega in it. It's got I wanna say Jodie Foster, the newest people. Doctor.
We've got other people. It's got other people.
that's been on my list for a while.
It's not Jodie Foster.
It is good. Penny Dreadful. What is your, so I actually only got as far as, I think they introduced, I don't really remember. I remember a werewolf. I remember Dr. Frankenstein's monster, which for all of you plebs out there, Frankenstein is not the monster. It's Dr. Frankenstein is the one who created the monster. So any of you calls the monster Frankenstein, you're wrong.
Frankenstein's monster's real name is actually Jeffrey, and I don't know why no one refers to him as that.
Little known fact, Frankenstein's monster is actually named Jeffrey Voltron.
Yeah, the patriarch of the Voltron family. Yeah.
Jeffrey Voltron Jr.
It's like if you read the Voltron comics, you'll see that Frankenstein's monster was actually the first line.
Which color?
I mean, I want to say green, and I don't know why.
I was going to say green, too. I was like, because everyone always draws him, like, discolored. And discolored to people means green.
All right, mate, let's stop having a laugh, then. Let's get on with the Penny Dreadful talk. Somebody laughed. Damn, what the fuck? Yo. Y'all just going to keep trying. That's
crazy. There is, it's hard to like really laugh whenever we have an episode called Penny Dreadful and we're discussing something called Penny Dreadful. It's a little difficult to laugh. So
okay, who's y'all, Belle, who's your favorite character in the show?
Oh, easy.
Is it Depression?
Oh my.
You know, personally really like Dissociation.
Oh my god, The Cut Wife is my favorite character. She's not a main character.
Chuck, chuck.
No, she's like the abortion witch of the village.
Oh, I like G.
Joanne Clayton.
Yeah. Well, no, Joan Clayton. But yeah.
Just kidding, Joan. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, she's
Joanne. There's no E.
Yeah, but no, to me, She's the coolest character. I mean, I do love I love Ava Green, and I like love her character. I love everybody's character. Like, it's a really hard choice because all the characters in the show are so good, but she's definitely my favorite. She's to me just like the, I don't know, I don't really know why. I just really love like those like cantankerous characters that kind of like mess with the main character. Like, they're supposed to be kind of a guide for them, but they mess them up in the process too.
Listen, if there's one thing I've come to accept is that sometimes you just gotta, you like stuff and there doesn't have to be a reason behind it. You're allowed to just like something.
That's true. Yeah, I just, yeah, she's just my favorite character. She's my favorite part of the show.
Because
like, there's a whole portion of a season that's like dedicated to her, pretty much like just on her and Ava Green. And it's, to me, that's like the best part of the show.
I'm looking at what I'm assuming is the concept art for the reboot. And if they have this like a Day of the Dead vibe consistently through the show, that's dope as hell.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. Oh. That's why I was getting mad whenever people were like, beautiful. And I'm like, bitch, do you understand the fucking creative possibilities of taking the brilliant minds that worked on Penny Dreadful and how good that shot design was, how good that writing was, how good the characters are, and Bell, you're going
to,
like...
Who are you talking
to? They want to fucking, like, they want to go all the way to L.A. They want to go to L.A. She's pointing at the 1940s wartime. They want to go to 1940s wartime in L.A. And they're, like, talking about, like, hey, the dead shit and, like, Mexican folklore. And I'm like, dude, this is... Y'all are stupid. Why would you want to stay in Victorian England when they could do that? They already did Victorian England. Go home.
That's a good point.
Two things.
That's a good point.
Wow.
But who are you talking to that sounds like that? Are you talking to, like, deaf people? Or who are you having these conversations with? They're like, I don't want to do the. I don't want to do it anymore. I've contextualized it. But y'all heard the accent that she was doing.
Can we do, like, an internet comment theater where we just give Belle comments to read in that voice?
I'm not gonna lie. That voice is really entertaining to listen to. I was hoping that there would be more.
Oh my goodness, Belle, I don't think I haven't heard you go on a rant like that in quite some time.
I'm very passionate about this show.
I'm glad we got it on recording. So if you're listening and if you're a listener and you were talking shit on the Penny Dreadful reboot, Belle's fucking coming for you. She's gonna be outside your door with a fucking... I was gonna say with a cricket bat full of nails, but that works too.
The fuck you say on YouTube, come out and say it. Come on, come here. I want to hear you.
Oh my god.
Alright. Belle's gonna single-handedly just take out everybody in the comment section.
Belle's gonna fix the internet. She's gonna single-handedly eradicate all the internet trolls, and no one's gonna stop her. Everyone's gonna let it happen.
She's gonna absorb them into her vagina.
That took a weird turn.
What? Hey guys. Fishing lore. Reel it back in real quick. I don't give a fuck about Victorian England, but Mexican folklore, dark, almost gothic story sounds dope.
That's what I mean. Like, they did such a good fucking job with, like, the original Penny Dreadfuls. Like, they did such a good job. They made it so cool. They made it, like, so interesting and beautiful. Can you, and, like, honestly, when you compare shit like what's in Penny Dreadfuls to Mexican folklore, there is no comparison. Mexican folklore is like that shit is like so cool. It's so terrifying. So it's like, y'all want to pass that up? Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's almost like in a city that inherently has more culture.
During another time period too. It's going to be during the 1940s, and they're not necessarily going to be focusing on the war. I'm not positive, but I think they're actually, like, tackling immigration. I may be wrong. I may watch that and be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they're tackling that in this show, which is, like, odd for a show that's set in the 1940s, because they almost always talk about the war or, like, focus it on the war anytime something's set then.
That's all they had going on. They didn't have podcasts to listen to.
We got to get one of the creators on the show. John Logan, program creator for Penny Dreadful. If you want to come on our humble podcast and tell us about the reboot, because that's he would much sooner come on our podcast before, like, you know, a bigger one.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I know,
this episode, and, like, he can listen to my rant and be like, listen, all right.
If I know John Logan, he's a man of the people, and he loves to support small business.
Yeah.
I actually do not know a single other thing that he's created, so let me look that up before I make that claim. He worked on Gladiator and Rango. Oh, hold up. I do actually know some... Oh, Sweeney Todd. Yeah, I said it as a joke, but I legit want him on the show now.
Oh, wait a second. I take it back. I fuck with Victorian England. I like the Black Plague. I'm a big fan.
What? Oh, yeah, that shit's pretty cool.
I'm a big fan of that, just in general.
So, before we move on, I personally, we have to cycle back to what Tammy said not long ago. Tammy.
What was it?
You about the internet troll souls being sucked up into Belle's vagina. What the fuck? Where did that come from? I can't let that slide.
Man,
that demands context.
Do you not remember that Belle said that she was going to absorb? I don't remember who, it was a few podcasts ago
she's
gonna absorb someone into her vagina.
She does it all the time. You've never seen it? I've seen it.
No, because I've heard Belle talk about her, and I'm quoting, potato dick.
I do have that.
This was literally just a few podcasts ago. I don't remember, a few episodes ago. I don't remember what exactly the context was. But you asked her a question, Rob, and then she was like, I'm just going to... She's like, I'll just absorb them into my vagina. Well, or something like that. I don't remember.
If you're listening,
anyone knows.
She was talking about one of those androids that she has to take them in, draw their energy, and that's how she gets to her next form.
Oh my God. If anyone listening is confused, I guess you just have to go back and listen to all of our episodes to get context.
It'll get. I have faith.
I'm confused, and I think I will stay there.
I don't think
it was an episode with Sonata.
No.
I will say that.
We're going to move on to the next topic. Welcome back from the ad break. Tammy.
Flat out.
Tammy, you have our next topic for today.
So, What?
Sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about episodic anime, or any, it doesn't have to stop with anime. I mean, we can talk about other shit, too.
Episodic series in general.
But specifically for me, I'm talking about episodic anime. And for those of you who don't know what that means, that's basically kind of like an anime that's basically an anthology. Every episode is like a different story. They're not really quite connected to each other. Yeah. So because I've been watching Lucky Star all day, I wanted to talk about Lucky Star, which actually started as a webtoon, which was, I think, like one of the first times I actually heard of the term webtoon.
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, it started as a webcomic. Huh. So that's why every single episode is like something different. And it also is even though the entire episode is kind of like a series of different events, these different events kind of correlate with each other, but only within that episode.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do like a throwback. Like the first episode, I forgot, and I texted this to you guys in the group chat, but they were eating a cornet pastry, which is like, it looks like a little horn with chocolate that's filled with chocolate cream, and if you bite one end, then the chocolate cart comes out the other end. So like they were talking about how everyone eats like cornets differently, and so because I saw that episode, I was at the Asian market today, and I saw it's not a cornet, it's a croissant, it's a chocolate filled croissant, but the same basic thing. I did tear it in half so that I could get the cornet effect, though. So talk about that shit for like 8 minutes. Like, I looked at the time. It was 8 minutes long that they talked about how they eat certain foods. It wasn't just cornets. I think they talked about, how do you eat strawberries.
It was
on the cakes.
It was like, do you eat the strawberries first or save it for last?
Yeah. It's funny because it's like such a mundane conversation, but because you can kind of relate, because this is like the type of bullshit that you talk to your friends about, it's actually kind of interesting and relatable. And because it's all these cutesy little girls talking about it, even though they're all in 11th grade, so
yeah,
not that little.
I always forget when I watch it where the twins are like, oh, we're going to be 17. And I was like, oh, you look like you're 8.
right? It's our style because they have the eye. Their eyes are like 2/3 of their head. But
I mean, it's every character in the show looks young. Even the ones with like beards look like children.
Yeah. The males with beards look so awkward. But,
three lines. One, two,
yeah.
Three.
That show, like, I feel like it aged okay, but not like super well. Like, Konata's dad is gross, to say the least. He is a perverted man. He went to his daughter's fucking sports festival to take pictures of high school girls in their sport outfits and doing random shit. And I don't even know. He's like the creepy side of the otakus.
He is also a good dad, though.
He is. He is a good dad.
Yeah, I think the show is kind of like, because I also watched it recently, it's becoming kind of a time capsule. Because you watch it and like, Konata plays games on the PS2 and they all have flip phones, and even her computer monitor is like, you know, the old like chunky white computer monitor, which I think
kind of adds to the charm. They don't like consider cell phones as like very necessary.
Yeah.
Either.
Oh my gosh, y'all giving me nostalgia trips right now.
I do want to ask, because I feel like Lucky Star, a lot of the characters are so likable that everyone has a different answer. But who was your favorite character? Or is your favorite character?
I can't even lie. I like Konata because I relate to her. Like when she starts talking about how she's like, yeah, like I sat down to do my homework. But then, you know, I started falling asleep. So I was like, maybe I should take a break, you know, 30 minutes into doing my homework. Then she gets absorbed in the game or the manga that she's reading, which I do that with BL all fucking time. Like, even now, like, last night I was supposed to write and I got absorbed into reading BL manga instead. So I highly relate to her.
I know mine definitely changed.
Also studying last minute for everything. And yet somehow still getting a good grade.
Yeah. As a kid, my favorite character, and I cannot stress enough that this is based on me being the same age as the characters at the time. But as a kid, my favorite character was based on whichever one I thought was the cutest, which was Miyuki. which is the, you know, that's the easy pick, but I stand by it. But being older, I definitely enjoyed Konata more. Not to mention, Miyuki doesn't actually have a whole lot of screen time. She's like one of the four characters they promote, but she's almost a side character.
She's just there for
Miyuki. Yeah, it focuses like...
She's there for... she like literally, like I feel like her main role is to be there for the moeiness and then also to just feed us this like these like random facts.
Yeah.
Like, they'll ask, anytime they have a question about something, they ask her. And then she goes into this detailed explanation of it, like she's an encyclopedia.
I know it's like one of those shows where they're all the main character or whatever, but if you had to boil it down, I think the main characters are Konata and, is it Tsukasa? The twin with the pigtails.
No, that's the younger one. Kagami. She's the one with Kagami.
Yes.
That was my actual favorite. Yeah. I loved him so much.
Kagami and Konata, I think like, they had the most interactions, and they kind of felt like the main characters to me.
Y'all are going to laugh. Because I definitely shipped them.
You know what? I get it. Watching it again recently, I get it.
Pause that. Pause that because I know Tammy's ship conversations can get deep. But I finally unlocked... the inner meme. I saw a meme that had a picture of Mikasa from Attack on Titan, and then it had at the bottom it had Tsukasa from Lucky Star, and I finally looked up who she is, and I was like, oh, that's the girl from the picture. And it's like Mikasa Tsukasa. Genius.
Oh my god,
it's all coming together. Like a non-episodic anime. It's all boom.
So before this segment just turns into us talking about Lucky Star, what are some other episodic shows? And I'm saying shows because I don't want to restrict it to just anime.
Boom, Shin Chan. Boom, Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Boom, Hamtaro. Sort of Fooly Cooly.
Honestly, I think most American cartoons would fall into that category. Save for like,
yeah, you know, I think
probably gonna say Bee and Puppy Cat is one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Bee and Puppy Cat. Oh my god,
I love it so much.
It is so good, and you know, and they're coming out with a full blown series too,
which I'm really excited for them for.
Yeah,
because I remember like watching it on YouTube and stuff, and it was just like the cutest little animations and whatnot.
I've been noticing. I don't want to say a trend because it's been happening since, I want to say like the 2010s is when I first started noticing it, where at least in American media, shows will start out as episodic and then they become more serialized, the term, where it has a running story.
Mm-hmm.
I know Adventure Time was one of the ones that did that first because they started introducing a consistent story. The other big one is Steven Universe, but we've done a podcast on that. Listen to that if you want to hear our feelings on it.
Y'all want to know my favorite episodic not anime, but show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here it comes. Y'all ever watch the original Aeon Flux? Like, the one that used to be, like, kind of shorts on MTV?
I haven't, actually. I know of it, but I never saw it.
I wasn't like alive and sentient when they came out, but I watched all of them, and they were super sick. I love the animator. I forget who it is, but it kind of had like the same style as Rugrats almost, but it was very adult. And the main character Aeon Flux, she would die in like every episode. So every time you watched it, you would be like, "Oh shit, she about to die!" Like, because it would happen out of nowhere. Like, she'd just be like killing people in like a fierce battle, like just slaying it, and then all of a sudden she trips and falls out of a building and like lands, and then the episode ends. And that's like genius. I wish there was something like that. The fact that they ended up just starting the next episode with no context. And you kind of pick up the context on the way. It's just like, I wish there was more stuff like that, but I don't think there is.
Yeah. It looks like the animator.
It was definitely wild. I caught a few episodes.
The animator, it looks like, was Peter Chung.
Word.
The other big thing it says he worked on was Rain the Conqueror, which I have also never seen.
Also did the Chronicles of Riddick animated film, Dark Fury.
Okay. I know I watched that. I own the DVD, and I know I watched it. I don't remember a single thing about it.
Yeah, it's forgettable.
Yeah. Oh, poor Vin Diesel.
I remember coming back from a family Thanksgiving, and we stopped in Walmart, and my dad got it because we had like the DVD players you put on the back of the driver's seat at the time. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch this. And I don't remember anything that happened in it. I think they were on like the moon or something. I don't know.
It's the same thing as every other Chronicles of Riddick. There's a problem and Vin Diesel stabs it.
I mean, that's his whole career, isn't it?
Pretty much.
In between stabbing things, he talks about family.
Speaking of shows where one of the main characters dies all the time, my favorite episodic anime has to be South Park.
Oh,
yeah.
Kenny.
Yeah, I was watching South Park clips earlier. I was watching a compilation of all the times Kyle kicked Cartman's ass. No, I mean,
my favorite compilations are Butters, Tweak, and like Craig being Craig.
Tammy, you and me have talked about this in private, but South Park is such a brilliant show because it is. Still, it's satire, but they take it to a point where it loops back around to stupid while still being satirical.
Oh, yeah. And intelligent. And people who are like, you were like, I just don't like South Park. I'm like, I mean, I get it. You're not intelligent. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm totally just kidding.
It's South Park, not Rick and Morty. Come on.
It's weird because, like, it's like on surface level, it's stupid, and it is stupid, but it's also really smart.
It is, and it's also kind of one of those where, like, no one is safe, which I appreciate. I actually had this discussion with somebody at school, and I was just kind of like, yeah, like, comedy should either be all or nothing. Like, you either can make fun of everything or you can make fun of nothing. And he was like, I don't agree with that. I was like, well, that's why you're not a comedian and you're not funny.
Yeah, comedy.
Whoa, get wrecked.
The root of comedy is misery, so.
Yeah, there was I don't remember what his name was. He is a black comedian. It's not Dave Chappelle before anyone says it. Or Cat
Williams.
Whatever his name was.
A pimp named Slickback is his name.
Cat. Yeah. Or Cat Williams.
So I always forget about that.
It was some.
I'm sorry. I'm playing the scene in my head and I can't help but laugh.
Yeah,
he's like, nah, it's a pimp name, Slickback. Say it with
me. Basically, God damn, it is laggy today, like shit. But he basically said, he was just like, listen, if you get offended by a joke, that means that joke is talking about you.
Yeah, I mean,
he was just like, comedy is making fun of not only everyone else's misery, but your own.
I mean, there's a lot of comedians who have made similar points where, I'm forgetting literally all of their names right now. But you know,
yeah.
Oh my God, it's on the tip of my tongue and it's going to bother me. But you know, some of them
describe them. I probably don't.
It's a, oh my God. He like, do you know the comedian? He's like, I guess technically half Hispanic. He does the bit where he like met Mike Tyson on a plane.
Tom Segura.
Yes, Tom Segura. Thank you. He, you know,
I know every comedian.
In his most recent special, he did a thing where it was like, you know, I get it. You know, some people aren't going to jive with, you know, everything I say, but also at the end of the day, like, one, I'm not explicitly trying to offend you, but also I'm a comedian. What I'm saying is just jokes. Take every fucking thing I say with a grain of salt.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why, like, when Dave Chappelle made his LGBT jokes, and people just were so upset about it. I'm just like, bro, he literally said that some of his closest friends are trans and gay and bi. Like, y'all need to chill the fuck out.
That shit makes me mad anyway, because people are real selective about the shit they get mad about.
Exactly.
Because Dave Chappelle made a career off making fun of black people and, like, the fuck-ups that happened in the black community.
Yeah.
Nobody cares, you know? But it's like, you can't be selective with what you find offensive. And they say the rule is you punch up, you don't punch down. But that in itself is kind of like, fuck you mean I'm punching down or I'm punching up when I talk about white people? They're not above me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It makes me mad. So, but
it does. And that's what I was trying to tell that guy. Yeah. Like, I was like, you either can joke about everything or nothing at all. South Park has literally, like, done jokes involving kids with cancer.
One of my favorite bits is the episode where Cartman gives Kyle HIV. And he keeps making that joke. It's like, oh, wait, gotta be HIV positive. And Kyle just gets forward and he's like, dude, shut the fuck up. And he smacks the shit out of Cartman. But even within that episode, they made the point of, like, Kyle thought it was all shits and giggles until he had it. Like, they pointed out the hypocrisy of that shit like that. It was like, you can't be selective about when you're upset about something, you know?
Yeah.
That's a big conversation in the comedy world right now. I watch a lot of freaking comedy podcasts and keep up with stand up. But there's a big push. There's a push for, like, you know, political correctness and comedy. And, you know, they have some points too, because you know, comedy can be used as a medium to make things okay that wouldn't normally be okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it can work to adversely affect society, but at the end of the day, it's an art form. You know what I'm saying? You can have movies about anything.
But I also think people
Do you listen to David Choi by any chance?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's an Asian comedian.
Yeah, I know who he is.
He does Genius Brain.
Oh, do you mean David
So? His podcast is Genius Brain. You should listen to it. I David think you'd so. Like it. David Cho, yeah, you're right.
So, S-O.
S-O. Sorry.
But, yeah.
All these...
Well, it's because I think there's another David comedian. Choi. There's another comedian with the last name
there
Cho.
There is a Choi, sure. But it's not him.
I think with stand-up specifically, people tend to take it out of context a lot. Because very rarely, at least lately, very rarely is it, you know, them being like, oh, well, I'm going to tell a joke about, you know, this minority group with the express purpose of, like, you know, I'm laughing at their struggles or some shit like that. It's always, I think comedy, a good comedian will take something that is usually hard to listen to or people don't want to talk about, and they recontextualize it in a way that you can laugh about, but also when you leave the show, you're like, yeah, that is kind of fucked up how that's the case. And that's a lot of what I see.
Sorry, we totally took this completely away from episodic
shows. While we're at it, those goddamn furries. No.
Well,
the furries.
I can bring it back. There's
episodic show, the furry force.
There is a, I would kind of call it episodic. There's a comedian, James Acaster, who has a series of four stand-up specials on Netflix called Repertoire. And there are four different shows that, like, there's some callbacks to other shows, but, you know, it's presented as a series. And, you know, I it's stretching it, but I would call that episodic. I recommend everyone watch it. He's a very funny comedian. He has a stand-up special coming out soon, I think next month, called, it was like a fucking 2016 Cold Lasagna Hate Myself or something like that.
That's relatable.
A long title.
Some of the honorable mentions that I actually did want to talk about was Watamote, of course, because that show is just absolutely fucking ridiculous and I love it. It's Rob's looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I know
it's the show.
The one with the socially awkward girl.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It's because you're lagging so much. Oh, gosh. I can't read people's expressions this way.
That show hurts me to watch. It reminds me too much of parts of high school and middle school. It's the same reason I can't watch
every episode is like a new cringe.
Mm-hmm. I tried rewatching Chunibyo recently, and I can't do it. That show causes me physical pain to sit through and watch it.
I feel like Watamote is like very much is almost like more for like girls who grew up in that awkward stage, and then Chunibyo is kind of like everyone who grew up in that awkward stage.
Chunibyo is for people who were weebs and they didn't realize that it wasn't necessarily cool to express your weebdom in public yet, and luckily that has changed. That is no longer the case to a degree.
Chunibyo is really fun though. I did enjoy what I've watched of it so far.
Well, it's a fun show, but like I'll watch the first episode and the dude stands up and he has like the edge boy pose, like, I am the Lord of Darkness in the middle of class, and I was like, I can't I don't want to watch it.
You get so much secondhand embarrassment from it.
I do.
That dude would have been my friend. I'd been like, yo, hey, Lord of Darkness, what up?
I didn't used to be like this. I don't know when I started getting so much secondhand anxiety.
I think that like these type of shows are really fun and easy to watch because like obviously you could literally come in on an episode and not know anything about the previous episodes and you'll be just fine. And I think that's what makes an episodic show episodic.
Another really good episodic that I think we should mention, because I think it is technically episodic, Doctor Who, for the most part, is an episodic show.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the draw of it is that you can jump in at any point for the most part and not know the whole lore of the show and still enjoy it. Most people I know started on the 10th Doctor.
Oh, okay. Is that the most recent one?
No, most recent is... I don't know the numbers. The most recent is 13.
Okay, so was that Eccleston? Was
no.
The 10th Doctor?
10 was David Tennant. Eccleston was 9.
Before him.
Yeah. Also, if someone listening is a big Doctor Who fan, I know it's not technically 13. Get off my fucking back. I don't want to explain the whole lore of the show right now.
Yeah, because we're talking about episodic shows.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kiss Him, Not Me would maybe become be considered episodic, maybe?
I think a lot of slice of life shows kind of fall into that category.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever watched it, but Wotakui, Love is Hard for Otaku.
I haven't watched it yet. I need to.
It's my favorite.
Because I heard it has some of the best writing for like a romance. Even though the director is apparently not the best person, but I'm not going to hold the show accountable for that.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, the director is apparently a neo-Nazi.
Sonata, what were you saying?
Oh, no, I'm just saying I freaking love that show. It brought me so much joy when I found it on Amazon Prime. This is what I need right now. And I feel like that's what I love about episodic shows. Because, like, it can really cater to what you want. Like, so, like, with anime for me, like, I'll go to episodics for, like, comfort. So it's, like, Love is Hard for Otaku, Nichijou.
Oh, Nichijou.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. My brain is dumb. Or like things like that, or like these, or like even K-On. That was like my first. I loved it so much.
K-On is so great.
So great. It's so sweet. And then there's like others like where, I don't know if you've guys watched it or even just listened to it, but Midnight Ghost on Netflix.
It's an
episodic, but it's from a person's podcast. And I love it, love it, love it so much because it's like you can put it on in the background, just kind of listen to it, but you also can sit down and just watch the beautiful story being told. And I'm like, I like this show a lot.
Midnight Gospel.
Yeah, I know, Luna.
Midnight Gospel is really interesting because I don't know that another show like that had been done. It's like you said, it's like captivating to listen to and also like, I have a lot of friends who partake in various drugs, specifically the Devil's Lettuce, who like say they love to sit. That's like one of their shows to watch when they're high, just because the visuals are so like just inherently trippy when you're sober. I couldn't imagine what the show looks like when you're tripping.
It's so amazing. I mean, I can only imagine how amazing it is. How we found it is, you know, children under 18 don't, but adults, like, it's like me and my friends partook in some fungi for some fun times, and we sat down, we watched it, and we were able to like just kind of chill there and enjoy it because like the visuals were beautiful, but also there's like a story being told, and like once we were like, we're kind of done with this, we had something to talk about, and it was like nice. It was just like a pleasant ride the whole way. Oh, I just love the way they did it so much, because like some of the episodes are just plain funny, but some of them hurt, like some of them make you cry and you're just like, god damn it,
I didn't come here for this.
Exactly. I came here for good times, not to contemplate my life.
Cry for me.
Another really good episodic that got Tammy Bell and I through some rough nights at college is 16, if any of you remember that show.
Oh my god, yes.
Bella's Caitlin.
Leave me alone. I'm always the Caitlin carrier and I don't like it.
To be fair though, Caitlin is lovable. I think she's a lovable.
No, but anytime my friends are like talking about it, like a set of characters, and we're all saying who we are, I always get like the Caitlin type of character, like the dumbass, and always get the chaotic dumbass, and I'm like, Jesus.
But well, all you don't pull up your pant legs to fight someone.
Yeah, that seems pretty chaotic to me.
Yeah, which is confusing, because I've also seen you do that in Celebration.
this is true.
That's so how like, Belle,
what to happen? I can't tell.
That's how Belle celebrates. She kicks someone's ass. Someone
about to get their ass beat, or like someone's birthday.
Or both.
One time I was on the street, and I saw Belle get some really good news, and then she pulled up her pant leg and just jumped a guy on the street. Some innocent dude just got his ass kicked, so she was so happy.
Hey, motherfucker, rejoice!
Be happy for me! That's nothing to compare to my goblin walk. Angel, have you ever seen it?
Oh, God.
Perhaps in my nightmares.
You should show him right now, Belle.
No, I'm not going to do it.
The listeners don't want to hear all that shuffling.
I used to do like this funny goblin walk on the way to the gas station for, like in the middle of the night with everybody.
Oh God. Those were some times.
I miss those trips so much.
I do too.
I'm gonna get to go back.
Yeah!
I'm so excited.
We're excited for you. I'm excited for you to leave where you're at right now.
Before we get into that, that is going to do it for this episode.
We don't want to open that.
Do you guys have any final thoughts for the lovely listeners at home? Any episode show recommendations?
Even though I haven't actually watched it, and this is actually how perfect it works as an episodic anime, I've only watched clips from it, and I want to watch more, but there's Tanaka-kun is always listless. It looks really cute, and I kind of ship him with his friend, I'm not gonna lie.
I like that one, too.
And then there's, like, one called, it's, like, Asobi...
It's like a club about games and stuff. If you're looking for something to like cheer you up after Banana Fish or another sad show, I would recommend you to watch that one.
Sir. Just the clips that I've seen are fucking hilarious, and I have like literally died laughing. And I have no idea who these girls are. I don't know anything about their personalities. I just know that they are all fucking chaotic whack jobs.
One of them has a butler who can shoot a laser out of his butt. So if you needed a reason to watch it, that right there is a reason to watch it. Laser butthole butler.
If I want to watch that, I'll look in a mirror.
All right. If you guys have any recommendations,
Tanaka-kun is always listless. Looks really good.
If you guys have any topic recommendations or just questions you want us to answer, you can email at us. I can never say that right. You can email us at undercovernerdspodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, thank you for listening and happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody. We're
going
to lead us in the song. Sing the song.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Wait. No. Oh, the Penny Dreadful song.
Shut up. Yo, she's twerking. Shut it off. Shut off the recorder. We'll be right back.